Welcome, everyone. This is Mia Ferraletto, publisher of New Observations magazine. Welcome to New Observations. Today, we have the honor to have Sev Toke back on our podcast. Sev is the author of You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, and attended our conference in Wausau, South Dakota, and was a speaker there as well. So welcome to the show, Sev.
Hi, Mia. It's a pleasure to be with you again, with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and I'm very much looking forward to this conversation. We had discussed the idea of talking about frequency and the ability to manifest, and I'm sure some other topics will be woven in and out of this discussion as we move forward. But let's talk about frequency. What are your thoughts on what's happening in terms of frequency for the planet and for all of us to raise our vibrations?
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely is a super special time right now in terms of frequency. All of us around the world might be feeling a little agitated or might be feeling a little off due to the intense vibration all around the planet. Before I get into that, I would like to, if you don't mind, just say a little bit about your conference that took place last July.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
As a speaker there, I had a very enjoyable time, not only as a speaker, but as an attendee, too. And this does fit into the topic of frequency, because where you had your conference in Wausau, South Dakota, was a gorgeous place, and the frequency there is you can feel it. And you don't even have to be all that sensitive, but you can feel the energy of that place is just a little different than many parts of the United States. South Dakota, I had never been there before. And then we also went to Wyoming to Devil's Tower. And to have your conference in that energy really adds to the effect that your conference creates within your attendees. There's a big difference between having, I call your conference a boutique conference because it's about 30 to 40 people, which makes it really magnificent. So to have a boutique conference like yours in the middle of that amazing energy in South Dakota compared to a conference in Las Vegas, completely different feeling. Because where you had your conference, is the body acclimates to a higher frequency. And after we were there for a couple of days, I could feel that I was buzzing. I could feel, I could hear it. And the other people that I was talking to, they could feel it too. So when you are exuding that higher frequency, you can then align with knowledge that also has a higher frequency. Because just like people and things and places, ideas and knowledge and thoughts and information, they also have their own frequency. And so what you created for us was just marvelous in that you put us in a spot with high frequency. After our 24, 48 hours, we're all like buzzing like crazy. And then we can really, yeah, the energy, and then the talks that your other speakers gave and just talking amongst all the attendees, everyone was so interesting and fascinating. It made, it was like we were more able to process, understand this higher level of information that you were presenting for us there. It was just excellent. I really...
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, Seb. Thank you.
I highly suggest people attend. I know you keep it to a small limit, and that is for a very beautiful reason. But if anyone is really interested in having a really amazing time, unlike any other conference, and also we did see craft UFOs, and I think last year was your third one, or excuse me, this year was your third one. You've seen a craft every year, right?
Well, the first year in Vermont, interestingly enough, we were at the Verschere Riding School in Verschere, Vermont, and that property exists on a whole crystal bed. The Ooh. Crystal formations at that farm are just extraordinary, and there's a massive megalith rock in the field there that I think they call Devil's Rock, that's been there for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, and apparently Druidic ceremonies took place there. And our last night there, we went out to stargaze, and one of the owners of the farm is actually a fire dancer, and he performed for us in the field. It was just magical. And I saw a massive craft, and one of our other attendees saw a craft as well. Carol could see it, but everyone was not able to see it. But the interesting thing about that farm is when we had put together the Consciousness and Contact issue of New Observations magazine, and on a Saturday night, I was sending out the PDF files to people all around the globe, in fact. And one of the owners of the farm was out feeding the animals. And while I was sending out the PDF in South Dakota, she was in Vermont feeding the animals. And literally, a craft and an orb showed up. And was buzzing all around her. The orb was just buzzing all around her. And she immediately said to herself, or got the message, I have to tell Mia. So as soon as she came into the house, she sent me this little video of what she was experiencing on the farm as I was sending the PDFs out. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just a confirmation from the ETs. You know, we like the magazine. We're happy with the issue. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's really cool. The other fascinating aspect of your conference is that it's in Lakota territory. And so you gave us the privilege of meeting Chief Orville personally, which was extraordinary to feel his energy. It's a really quiet power that he exudes. And also, when we met with Henry Red Cloud up at Bear Butte, and the talk that he gave to us and the prayer that he did with us, that is something that you just don't get at other conferences, or rarely do you get it at other conferences. And to be that close to a Lakota and to feel their vibe then raises your vibe, too. And they just speak so eloquently. And it's just an honor to be in their presence, an honor to hear their songs and their prayers. So that was, that will never be, I will never have that experience again anywhere else. And so that lives in my heart. It will be in my heart, in my personal energetic matrix forever. And it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Sev. That's so wonderful to hear. The Lakota are extraordinary beings, and
yes.
To have had the extraordinary privilege of getting to know them has been one of the key gifts in my life, and to be involved with Paula Looking Horse and Chief Orville in terms of this indigenous school that they're founding, and be able to join their board for the school, and move the project forward and collaborate with them as well here at the Thunder Heart Center for the Arts is just such a huge honor and joy for me. But, you know, that is what I see in the future for WASTA. We are really creating a center here for creativity and consciousness and collaborating with the Lakota and the other tribes in the area is just a huge gift.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've really accomplished a lot. Congratulations, and there's so much more to come. And I'm really eager to see how your Thunder Heart Center turns out and when your first students start to come in and study there.
Yes, we're in discussion with major institutions of higher learning around the country to come for college credit and do their art here and interact on Pine Ridge and interact with the land here. So for undergraduate and graduate students, this is going to be a complete unique opportunity at a pivotal point in their lives to be exposed to things that very few people get to be exposed to. And I am, you know, really excited to have the opportunity to bring these things together. It's thrilling.
Yes.
It's part of the new earth.
The new earth?
It's, yeah. Well, it's part of the new earth, the new understanding of earth and sky and our relationship to both.
Yes, and also our relationship to the indigenous peoples. And to I personally believe that our higher selves are craving an atmosphere, a living atmosphere, mind and body, of a higher frequency here on Earth. And that's what we're doing. We're in the midst of transforming the frequency. And in the beginning, it just feels really messy. It feels really dirty. It feels really confusing because all of the ugliness, all the ugly things that we've been hiding are coming forth. And it was with women and with blacks, and it has to come up with the indigenous and how we treat animals and children and pedophilia and all of that. It's all starting to come up pretty much at the same time, and it is a lot to take in. It is a lot to step back and go, whoa, look at all this crap that we knew existed, but we've just been hiding and just keep sweeping it under the rug. With a rug, there's no room under the rug anymore. And so in order for us to collectively transform to a higher frequency, we have to face these ugly things that we've been ignoring. And I see the work that you're doing as part of that transformative work with the indigenous. I know that you also do work with other groups, but the work that you do with the indigenous peoples is really, really so timely right now. It feels like maybe their time is coming again. At least I hope so.
They have held the spirit for the whole planet, all the indigenous people all over the world, and they have held humanity's spiritual lives. They have held the understanding of the connection to the earth and to not only other dimensions, but the animals, all the other kingdoms, the animals, the minerals, the elemental realms. And we are now at a place where some of us are understanding that our salvation is only through working with everyone, with all of these kingdoms and with people of every color. As Henry Red Cloud talked about at Bear Butte, discussing his great-great-grandfather, Chief Red Cloud, who predicted the seventh generation, the coming of the seventh generation, which is really where we are at this moment in time, when people of all colors come together for the good of each other and the good of the planet. Mm-hmm. and you know, to have people come to the conference from as far away as Hawaii, and you came from the Carolinas and Pennsylvania and New York and Canada. You know, people were called. I truly believe that the people to attend, all three conferences now have been called to be there, and then take the energy and what they've learned back to their communities and share it.
Yes, and I have friends who attended your second conference. They attended, and they were also speakers, and they still talk about how it transformed them, and they're still in the transformation of it. And so your conference is, you and I were talking earlier about, is conference really the right word? Well, I don't know. Maybe we could come up with another word, because it's beyond a conference. It's this energetic healing transformation that you provide for us. It's beyond a conference. It's not that you go, you fly somewhere, you stay in a hotel, you listen to some famous people talk, and then you go back home. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, it's definitely nothing like that.
No.
I mean, what we were doing here that weekend was our own purification ritual, just like a Sundance, the extreme heat, and the fact that we were all come together was really a purification for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And what I found so interesting was the incredible healing work that went on within the group. People, you know, actively asked to do healing work on each other, and we're doing that through prayer and meditation, and sitting outside in groups at night, working together to make contact, but also to raise the vibrations of themselves and each other. It was such a collective of people who not only shared compassion for each other, but understood completely, we are our brother's keeper. We want everyone's welfare to be looked after, which is, you know, really the goal, where we all need to be in order for the planet to succeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we can individually work on ourselves to help make that happen. In order for collective transformation to happen, that results from individual transformation. And that's why I talk so much and teach and make videos and write about our personal frequency and how important it is to be aware that you even have a frequency, and to know that you can tweak it and you can change your frequency. And as you change your personal frequency, your personal reality changes to go along with your personal frequency. And that's,
well, hold that thought, Sev, because we're about to take our first commercial break. We'll be right back.
There was an incredible UFO wave going on back in 2007. Forgotten all about it? Well, we haven't on unknowncountry.com, and you can still explore it with one of the leading experts who was involved personally, Brian Veich. Listen to this.
A good friend of mine, he's in the UK, believe it or not, and of course I'm in Canada, and between the two of us, just two of us, we pulled in. Now this is going to be a rough one. I think I stopped it at 434 reported sightings for Canada alone in 2007.
This is an excerpt from one of literally more than 1,000 different episodes of our various podcasts on unknowncountry.com. But how do you access them? We have a powerful search engine that enables you to access them by subject, but now also, when you go to the podcast drop-down menu, you will see at the bottom, Podcast Archive. This takes you to lists of all of our podcasts organized by year. And you can click on any year and browse through everything that's in that year for that podcast. This is a huge website, and we work more every day to make it accessible. For example, subscribers can now listen to the subscriber version of Dreamland on an app. There are a number of apps out there that will accommodate this, and subscribers will find more information about it in the subscriber section of unknowncountry.com on the Dreamland page. So for this and so much more, the time to subscribe to unknowncountry.com is right now. Go to unknowncountry.com and subscribe to this website. We need you. And I can assure you, you need us.
Welcome back to the show. So, Sev, continue with your thoughts on frequency.
So being aware that we even have a frequency is really the first step in increasing your frequency. Why would you want to increase your frequency? What are the benefits to increasing your personal frequency? Well, when you are vibrating at a higher frequency, and the highest frequency that there is love, the higher that you vibrate, the more love you exude. The more love that you exude, the more you align with other beings that also exude love. And when you are surrounded by people who are loving and who have high frequencies, you will then have better relationships, more fulfilling relationships, and you'll also make friends with people who want to help you, people who are not jealous, people who want to collaborate, people who see you, see your heart, see the love within you. And so when you're living amongst people like that, life is really quite enjoyable and fulfilling. When you're with people who want to help you, who are not jealous of you, who want to collaborate with you, that is really important in your own personal manifestation, because we all need help. Whatever it is you want to manifest, whether it's a car or a house or personal peace and everything in between, whatever it is, we all need help. And the better the help, by better help, I mean by people who have higher frequencies, the easier it is for you to manifest.
I think that's absolutely true. We create the friction in our own lives. We do it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we share it. We spread it around.
Yes. And then
we try to.
And then we hang out with people who are also of a lower vibratory rate. And when you do that, your relationships are just unfulfilling, argumentative. There's a lot of discord, and you're just not happy. And it all comes from completely within you. So the first step, really, in raising your frequency is the awareness. Awareness is the number one step. Number two is then to take a look at your reality, look at your life. Who's in it? Where are you living? What are the conditions of your life? Do you like it? Are you happy with the people in your life, your lover, your husband, your wife, your friends? Do you like where you're living? All of this needs to be looked at. Take a step back and look. Because this is how you are going to read the frequency that you are exuding. If there's something you want to change, change your frequency, and then you will change that reality. And for some people, this is kind of woo-woo talk, but frequency is science. Like, the scientists and the whole scientific community knows that everything exudes an energy, everything exudes a frequency. That's not woo-woo, that's science. And the desire to align with a similar frequency, that's not woo-woo either, that's science. And as we step on this path of increasing our frequency, which is done through self-introspection, some things can happen. There can be some side effects, because if you're going to be changing your frequency, it could very well get to the point where you're no longer vibing with your husband, you're no longer vibing with your best friend, you're no longer vibing with where you live. So there is a warning with this work that you, as you're doing the self-introspection, as you're raising your frequency, you also have to be prepared to make some major changes, and they could be scary, but they are very well worth it. I know that you know what that's like to make huge changes in your life, and when it's done so that you can get more in alignment with the people and the places and the situations around you, they're very well worth it. It can be very scary in the beginning to leave a relationship or to leave your house or to move to another town, but this is work that is not for the weak or the meek. This takes some guts. This takes some bravery, and we all have that inside of us. We're all brave inside of us. We just have to dig in deep, some of us more than others, to touch that brave spot, but we all have it.
Oh, I agree with you completely. We've all come in here with something specific to do, a mission, for lack of a better word, and we all have greatness inside of us if we are willing to own it. Some of us spend our whole lives avoiding our purpose. And
that's
a choice.
So I believe our purpose is just to love as much as possible. That's basically our ultimate purpose. And that includes ourselves. And that's where many of us get hung up. Because we're not really socially... we're not socially trained to love ourselves. We're really socially trained to do the opposite. And through self-love is how you're going to raise your frequency and how you're going to execute your purpose, so to speak. Our purpose is to love as much as possible, including ourselves. So how do we show love for ourselves? Well, by engaging in hobbies that bring us pleasure, engaging in a career that gives us pleasure, engaging with people that give us pleasure, music, food, art, all of that, what gives us pleasure. And we are conditioned to think that, well, if I love myself, I'm being an egomaniac or a narcissist, and that is not what we're talking about at all. It's the exact opposite. If you really are showing love for yourself, you can't be an egomaniac. You can't be a narcissist because you're operating from the platform of love.
I think that's really true, Sev, and I think the more one is true to themselves and continuing on their own spiritual journey, the less bad behavior is even a possibility in one's own life. Because as your frequency rises and your awareness rises, it becomes impossible for you to act out of alignment with that. Mm-hmm. And it takes a real discipline in order to live that life. I think that's one of the traps of the New Age movement that personally I believe was done deliberately so that we don't look under the carpet. You know, we just keep it on a certain superficial level and think magically things are just going to take care of themselves. But that's not the case. What I encourage people to do and what I did myself was to first take a good hard look at who I am and the worst possible things I've ever done and to accept that I'm not an axe murderer. You know, I mean, the worst things that I've done are so, the magnitude or you know what they actually are in reality compared to the possibilities, the endless possibilities in the world. By doing that, you are allowing yourself. You are taking yourself off the hook and you're accepting yourself and you're loving yourself and you're eliminating blame and guilt from your life, which are very important.
Oh my gosh, letting yourself off the hook. That is such a good way to put it. Because we let others off the hook and we give others second and third chances, but we just don't tend to do that to ourselves, which is so frickin' mean to ourselves. Mean in ways we would never be to anybody else. Yeah, that's
right.
A really good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. The desire to even engage in self-introspection is not really something that can be forced upon anybody. It just has to come from within. Why one person wants to do it over another, I don't know. I don't know. But there are so many of us now who are seeing that the way that we've been living is just not working out for us in a positive way. We want to see changes on so many different levels. So I'm not going to talk too much about the societal changes that are happening right now because there's so many, and concentrate more on the individual. Really, the only thing that we can really handle or control to some extent is our own individual.
That is true. We are about to take our second break here, and we'll be right back with Sev Tok.
They are found deep in a dying jungle, 6 infants. They aren't apes. They aren't human either, not quite. So, what are they? When they are spirited off to the United States, an incredible discovery is made. They are as smart as us, but not us, not human. The company that found them wants to buy and sell them as the most valuable animals on Earth, brilliant workers who need not be paid. Somebody has to stop this travesty, and that's where primatologist Beth Cook comes in. But can she stand up to the power and wealth that seeks to exploit them? Find out in Whitley Strieber's first standalone science fiction novel in 7 years. New. Get it on Amazon as an ebook or paperback.
As a subscriber of Dreamland for many years, it's been an incredible adventure and truly a Rosetta Stone for so many of the experiences that all of your listeners have had. Please join us. It's a fantastic ride. But I will say that certainly Dreamland does reflect something that I've always known, that man's mind mirrors a universe that mirrors man's mind. And no other place will you get this truth than on Dreamland. Come join us.
Some of the most thrilling, mind-opening interviews ever recorded are in the Dreamland Archive. Open your mind to Sir Lawrence Gardner's brilliant vision of the past. Listen to Russell Targ's phenomenal insights about ESP. Be inspired by Dr. Eben Alexander's stunning near-death experience. Listen to an actual recording from a plane as it was attacked by a gigantic flying disc. Be transported to a new level of inner grace with Whitley Strieber's meditations. Enjoy The Communion, Transformation, Majestic, Secret School, and Superstorm audiobooks, and so much more. The UnknownCountry.com subscriber section. As little as 10 cents a day. Priceless.
Welcome back to the program. So, Sev, where were you? You were definitely on a roll. You are definitely on a roll. Please continue.
Saying that I wanted to concentrate more on the individual rather than the societal issues right now. What can each of us do individually to help transform collectively? And so that's why my focus really is on energy. And I've been talking about this topic for many years, over a decade. And as I do research in this field of energy or the personal energetic matrix, the aura, whatever you want to call it, I came across an article at the U.S. National Library of Medicine at NIH. And the article is called Biofield Science, and it's written by 6 doctors, scientists, researchers, one of them being Deepak Chopra. And the article states, in scientific terms, that there is evidence for the biofield. And I like the term biofield. It's an electromagnetic energy that surrounds us. And this article says that this biofield is a quantum information flow. So there's information in your biofield, and it is flowing through the many dimensions. There is information about you that is flowing through the many dimensions, information about others that is flowing that through us that we can pick up and receive, and we call these gut feelings or hunches and things like that. These are these are scientific processes that we sometimes have a difficult time finding words for. They're scientific because they have a physical manifestation in the body. Like when you get a gut feeling or a hunch, that is a physical feeling in your body, and you can feel it and you can identify it. And this article states that this biofield around us, this quantum information flow, as it's flowing back and forth and in and out, actually influences our own biological and chemical processes within the body. So we're not talking just mind and spirit. We're talking about physiology, the health of your body. So the raising of your frequency isn't just so you can be happier and more fulfilled, but it's also so that your body can begin to perform at a more optimum level.
Very interesting. I think that's completely true as well, and clearly shows the mind-body-spirit connection.
Yes. And brings into it the whole quantum physics. In this article, they describe it as a quantum information flow. And I just ask people, as they're just going about their day, just try and remember that you're glowing and that you're radiating something. So what are you radiating? And you can control what you're radiating by what you're thinking, about yourself, what you're thinking about the world. And sometimes what I like to do is, well, back in the day when we could go into a coffee shop, I would walk into a coffee shop and I would tell myself, okay, I'm going to glow extra. The minute I walk into this coffee shop, I'm going to exude so much love that if you were looking at me from outer space, like you could see me glowing. And it's so interesting, the response that you get from other people when you do that. This isn't something that they can see coming out of you, but my gosh, they can feel it. And they interact with you more. And then when they look at you, they look in your eyes, and they're smiling. And we have such a profound effect on the people around us. It's the Heart Math Institute did a scientific study where they concluded that the energy of your heart affects the heart of the person just a few feet from you, and you can actually change their heartbeat. Now, this is like a superpower. So. We all know people that when we're around them, we feel really good and we feel really comfortable. And then we know people when we're around them, we just feel agitated. And it really has nothing to do with what's coming out of their mouths. What we're doing is we're feeling their energy. We're feeling their heart energy. We're feeling their heartbeat. We're feeling the frequency coming out of their bodies. But the power that we have to actually alter someone else's heart rate is amazing. And so this is why the awareness of this is so profound. You can really, really change in positive ways, transform positively. Just the people, just in your home, why don't you just start with your family, just start with the people in your home, and your pets. This is everything that I'm saying also goes for your pets. And I like to say that the mother, usually it's the mother, it's not always the mother, but usually it's the mother is like the spider in the middle of this big spider web, which is the home. And you know, in spider webs, you just touch one corner of it, and that electricity of that one little touch goes through the entire spider web and affects everything on that spider web. Well, I ask that you look at your home like that. Think of your home as that spider web, and you're that major spider in the middle, and you're really in charge of how everyone in your family is going to feel today. What's the energy going to be in your home today? How are your pets going to feel today? And if you just pay attention to that throughout your day, you finally get to the point where you don't need to pay attention to it anymore. It's not something that's forced. It's just something that comes natural.
Absolutely. Well, waking up in the morning and meditating to align yourself energetically with your intentions throughout the day and what you're going to be releasing throughout your day is such an important thing to do, to align your frequency with your highest good and the highest good of everyone you come in contact with.
Yes, yeah. And so it goes beyond the mind, too, because our frequency is also really affected by what we eat and the words that we use when we speak and the music that we listen to and the TV shows and the movies that we watch and the books that we read. All of it plays into it. It's not just your mind. So it's, I ask everyone, please pay attention to, what are your favorite TV shows? I mean, if your favorite TV show is a zombie eating someone's brain, like, what do you think that energy is doing to you? Let's not forget that I think we're something like 60, 65% water, our bodies are, and that sound waves can change the chemical, or excuse me, not the chemical, but the atom structure of your cells. Sound waves can. And in fact, there's a science called somatics. There's a simoscope where you can actually see sound. I know you're familiar with Dr. Emoto's water experiment.
Yeah.
So that didn't have to do with sound. That had to do with conscious intent. But whether it's conscious intent or sound waves, they affect the cells in your body. That's why it's really important to pay attention to the music you're listening to, because that music is altering the cells in your body. And that is going to have an effect on how healthy you are, how happy you are, how stressed out you are, how sick you are, how fulfilled you are. Sound is so important. And on my YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV, I started a 10-part series called 10 Ways to Activate Your Ascension. And it basically has to do with how you can increase your frequency. So I did part one, and it's called What Do You Hear? And it's all about sound and how important sound is to your mental and physical well-being. In fact, the World Health Organization in 2011, I find this so interesting, they concluded that 3,000 heart disease deaths were due to excessive noise.
Oh, that's very interesting. Not mm-hmm. surprising.
Mm-hmm. So be very careful where you live. A lot of us live in the cities. I lived in the city for decades, and I loved it. I don't live in the city now, and I can really see, I can see the reflection of that within my body and my mind and my spirit. But if you are living in the city, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're doomed, but just pay attention to the other sounds that you do have control of. For instance, many of us wake up to a god-awful sound of an alarm clock. That is a horrible way to start your day. Some of us wake up to music, which is much better, but some of us wake up to and that is so alarming to your body. It puts your body in a fight or flight response. So automatically, you're waking up like that, fight or flight. You were talking about waking up and meditating. I highly suggest if you're going to use an alarm clock, you know you don't have to use an alarm clock, but if you do use an alarm clock, to try and have the alarm to be as soothing as possible, because that is really going to affect the rest of your day. So people wake up to this horrible alarm clock that agitates their system, and then they're in a hurry to get to work, and then they're in this horrible traffic with this horrible noise, and then they go to work, and then they're in this cubicle, and they're stressed out, and they come home, and they keep doing it over and over and over. So I'm asking you, if that is your reality, just to step back just for a minute and just ask yourself, which part of this formula that I have created called my life can I change, tweak, or alter so I'm not under this constant state of stress from noise and sound that so many of us are under?
It's a very important thing to pay attention to. I know for myself, the sound of a vacuum cleaner and a lawnmower are two sounds that I have a lot of problems with. I just hate hearing them and have my whole life since I was a small child. So the sound of the engine of the vacuum cleaner.
Do you listen to music throughout the day, Mia, or are you kind of a silent person?
I listen to music far less, but I find music fascinating, and I do use music to raise my frequency. I listen to the extraordinary singer Jesse Norman, who was such a gift to the planet. She died a few years ago, and I was blessed to see her in person at Lincoln Center while I was living in Manhattan. Her voice is so extraordinary, and we have incredible recordings of her available on YouTube. And interestingly enough, another thing that I listen to on a regular basis or recording group is the Beach Boys. The harmonies of the Beach Boys immediately raises your frequency. They do. The most perfect harmonies, songs like Don't Worry Baby or God Only Knows, they can elevate your vibration and frequencies, you know, in a moment. And it's fascinating to me that they came out in the 60s as they did, and they were so young when they started singing together. Brian Wilson is a musical genius, as we all know, even though he got into drugs and had emotional and psychological problems. And there's a huge connection between schizophrenia and creativity. You know, the artist goes off into the netherworld and comes back and makes something out of it, whereas the schizophrenic gets lost out there. But in terms of reading the writings or looking at the art of schizophrenic people, which I've done extensively, I can tell you for sure that they're all having mystical experiences. They're just not able to ground through it.
And thus the drugs and drinking because of that? Not understand.
I think the drugs and the drugs and the drinking, the drugs and the drinking are looking for relief. But, you know, as we know, alcohol has a very dark spirit attached to it, and so do drugs. You know, we have to pay close attention to the archonic influence on the planet. And when we're abusing substances in that way, we're actually attracting dark entities who will latch onto us, and then we have to clear ourselves of them, which is a whole process in and of itself. You know, if you raise your vibration high enough, there's no attachment possible. But more and more, especially with all the violence and the bloodshed and the entertainment industry being polluted by these things, by violence and darkness, literally. I mean, if you turn on the TV any given night, you know, practically every channel is full of violence in one form or another.
Really
so bad. That's by design. That's not random.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hollywood is deliberately trying to lower the frequency of the average person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they've been successfully doing that for a long time. Not just Hollywood, but governments and other...
Right, working together.
Yes, right, to keep us down, to keep us down. Right. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to be kept down. So this is really a fascinating time to be alive on Earth. We all chose to be here right now, and so we're absorbing it all. Some of us are getting lost in it, unfortunately, but some of us are able to take a step back and just watch what's happening and not let it infiltrate us too much. It's really hard these days not to be, like, slightly down or not to be maybe I don't know if depressed is a heavy word, but maybe just feel a little slightly down because we're really being kept away from each other. That's so dangerous, this fact that our government wants to keep us away from each other. I understand the pandemic and the biology and the science behind all that. I'm just talking about human beings are, they need each other. We need each other. We like to come together. We like to be with each other. And now that's being taken away from us. And I really hope that soon we can get that back, because if we continue to be kept away from each other, I think that's very dangerous. What do you think about that?
I think that's true. We're tribal peoples, all of us. And we do need to have the option to be in society, even if we choose at times to go off by ourselves for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the big fear right now for me anyway is children, and how young people and younger people, children, are being kept from interacting with their friends, going to school, wearing a mask. It's all communicating this fear and separation at a time when they should be learning social skills and mm-hmm. negotiating with each other and playing games and learning in a way that forms and forges the ability to cooperate.
Yes, and maybe it took this extreme situation for many of us to realize how important it is. I know a lot of people love to, that. I know a lot of people who tell me I love to be alone, so this is not an issue for me. I'm like, well, you know, you really can't live successfully completely all on your own. You do need somebody somewhere at some point. But most of us do not like to be hermits. And so I believe that just like we individually have a higher self, we collectively, there's a collective higher self. And so a lot of things are being made very clear to us. It's almost like I feel like America is having like this existential crisis, and it's trying to figure out, what does America stand for? What is an American? What does it mean to be an American? And what is America? I feel like we're figuring all of that out all over again right now.
Well, America has presented a certain face to the world and a particular storyline, which is not accurate. America and American altruism only happens when there's a financial reason for it, as we, you know, go around the globe and protect others and all of that. And I encourage people, if you're not familiar with it, to check out the playwright Harold Pinter's acceptance speech for the Nobel Prize in Literature in 2005, where he talks about American exceptionalism and, in fact, what America is really all about. And until we acknowledge, you're talking about Sev, looking under the carpet, until we acknowledge the formation of America, and certainly slavery and reparations for slavery are very important issues. But until we look at what we've done to Native Americans, mm-hmm. and the fact that America was founded on sending the dregs of the population over to form a new colony, to form colonies in the Americas, you know, the people who came over on the boats, you know, were basically prisoners, indentured servants, religious radicals. You know, England was not exactly sending the creme de la creme of the, their population to America to found a new country. So the Native Americans were faced with, really, talk about frequency, low-level frequency people getting off the boats. And we know this. History has shown this to be true. You know, the Native Americans were deliberately given smallpox-infected blankets so that they'd get sick and die. Every single treaty that the Native Americans signed with the United States or with the colonists moving forward, every single treaty was broken. You know, Chief Red Cloud is famous for saying, you know, they the only promise that was kept with the indigenous people was they said they'd take our land and they took it. Time and time again, regardless of what was written down on paper. Mm-hmm. So we have to really take a good hard look at what we've done and what we continue to do, mm-hmm. what continues to happen all around the country as the Bureau of Land Management is confiscating the land of others, you know, left and right on a regular basis as they're trying to you know, completely control what we do in America.
Mm-hmm. For your listeners who live around in the D.C., Washington, D.C. area, the National Museum of the American Indian is a fantastic museum. I cried through the whole thing, but it's still a fantastic museum, and I do urge that people go and look at that. We study a little bit about what we've done to the American Indian in school, at least most of us do. But going through this museum, you just realize, my God, there's just so much information that's been kept from us. And this is the way that we've treated another human being, just because it's a type of a human being that we don't understand, we don't know anything about, they're foreigners to us. And just the way we just slaughtered them and just treated them just in the most horrific ways. And we haven't done it just to American Indians. Human beings, we tend to do this to other human beings and to other animals. There's something within the human being at this particular moment that just inflicts pain on others for self nourishment, for self-advancement. This doesn't have to be. And so that's why raising our frequencies, when you do raise your frequency, you lose that desire to hurt another living being. You lose that desire. In fact, what happens when you raise your frequency is you become very empathetic to all living things, animals, humans, the earth, everything. You lose your desire to kill anything. You lose your desire to inflict pain or to have control over anything.
But Sev, what do you think is the key event or experience for a human being to have this realization? Is it suffering?
To have the realization about increasing their frequency?
About compassion, about where compassion begins. Generally, there's an event in a moment of realization, which often comes from personal suffering and loss, that allows someone to awaken to the suffering that others experience and the desire to alleviate suffering for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something, you know, that just occurs. Generally, there's a spark, something that ignites that flame, that understanding, that higher knowledge, whether you want to call it the Holy Spirit or the awakening of our oversoul.
Mm-hmm.
But there's generally an event. You know, oftentimes real enlightenment comes after a period of loss and suffering personally,
mm-hmm.
and that changes our perception and the eyes that we look out at the world change as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes new knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so what sparks it is different for everybody. Some people undergo a lot of suffering, but still, despite that, are still not empathetic towards animals or other human beings. So for each individual, it's a very different what sparks their desire to be empathetic towards all living beings. I really can't say it's any one particular thing, and I also really don't know if it really comes from one act of suffering. It could be something that's really just as simple as, you know, I just don't, the way my life is right now is just not satisfactory to me right now. Like, this is not satisfactory. When I was a kid, I expected more. When I was a kid, I thought my life would be different, and it's not too late. Even that, can spark empathy. Just beginning to realize, okay, this isn't good enough for me. What I've created for my life is not good enough for me anymore. I'm going to change it. How am I going to change it? I'm going to pay attention to my thoughts. I'm going to pay attention to what I exude. And then it can be something that just kind of grows on you, this all of a sudden realizing, oh my gosh, I should not be killing cows to eat them. Why am I doing that? I don't need to do that. So it could come from one specific incident where you're really undergoing some suffering, or it could just come from your just desire to go, okay, I'm going to be the most authentic me that I can possibly be, which means I have to honor my desires, which means I have to honor what makes me happy, and to follow that, and then from there we start to gain more empathy. I personally think it could come either way.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone's path is unique and individual, but if someone is living a completely selfish and self-centered lifestyle and committed to service to self versus service to others, or a balance between, it seems to me that there would be some trigger that would be needed to start this transformation.
Right. I guess it just all depends on where you're putting your focus. And if you really are this, you know, raving narcissist, it very well could be that in order for you to make that transformation, it has to be something really in your face. It has to be something that really catches your attention. And maybe for others, it could be something a little bit more mild or subdued or not so in your face. For instance, with my ET contact, when I had the two X's put on my back, that was in my face, even though it was on my butt. It was like in my face, like I couldn't deny it anymore. My whole life I had been denying my ET contact, but those two red X's on my butt, That was what I needed. That was like my wake-up call. I needed a serious wake-up call. Not everyone needs serious wake-up calls. Some people need really serious ones, and some people don't. I needed something really serious because I was ignoring all their other messages, everything else, all the other marks and bruises and scooped skin and everything that they were doing on my body, all the conscious memories that I had of coming in contact with the ETs. I was still ignoring all of it. But my higher self wanted to make this transformation, so I needed something really loud and clear, and I got it. Not everyone needs a really loud and clear message, but when it came to me and accepting my ET involvement, I needed something super crazy and super loud and super in my face.
Interesting. And from that moment forward, how have you used that to transform?
Oh, well, I decided to use it, allow it to transform me, because I had been on this path of authenticity. I've been wanting to be the most true version of myself I can possibly be, because I find that that is the path to fulfillment and peace. So I had been on that road for about a decade, and on that road, you have to face your obstacles and your hurdles. And finally, I came to my ET hurdle. It was a big one. It's the one that I've been hiding under the rug. And so when I made myself move through it, face it, accept it, and I got help, I needed help, so I got help. And I also help experiences around the world, too. Then my viewpoint changed, because as my frequency was increasing in dealing with this, I lost my victim vibe, or I started to lose my victim vibe, because my whole life I thought the ETs were out to get me and they were doing things to me, bad things to me, and that's because that was the viewpoint about my life in general. I was a victim. I chose to play the victim. I was in a couple of marriages where it was abusive. And I'm like, oh, woe is me. You know, everyone is mean to me. Everyone is out to get me. And it wasn't until these two red X's appeared, and then I chose to investigate, why is this happening? What's going on? That I started to see, oh my goodness, this whole victim narration is a complete false narrative that I have made up. I have made it up. The grays that put these two X's on me, they're not evil, they're not mean. They're helping me see that I need to take off my lenses of victimization. Once I started looking at the world without my glasses of victimization, yes, my life completely changed, because I started to take personal responsibility for everything in my life and everyone in my life. And that's called power, personal power. And when you live through personal power, no one has control over you anymore. Not your husband, not your lover, not your mother, nobody. And then all of a sudden, you're like, man, I can, like, say what I want, I can do what I want, I can be what I want without having to try to make all these people happy. Because as a victim, I was always trying to make everybody happy, which is impossible. So these two exes did so much for me in helping me tap into my personal power and to see that my level of contentment and fulfillment comes completely from within me, does not come from outside of me at all.
It's so true. The only person who can make make you happy is you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And it's cliche, but it's absolutely true. And we're learning that because we have been socially conditioned not to do that. And some of us have decided, oh, okay, I'm not playing into that brainwashing anymore. I'm going to turn my eyes inward. I'm going to tap into that part of me that makes me feel safe to be me. It is totally okay to be me, to say what I want, do what I want, dress what I want, whatever I want, totally okay. We're all equally valuable. My weirdness is valuable. Your weirdness is valuable. We're just the way we are is good. Even if you don't even want to go on the path of authenticity or raise your frequency. Even if you don't want to do that, that's okay too.
Oh, yeah, self-acceptance, your own self-acceptance, our own self-acceptance is feeding the collective in a valuable way, for sure.
Yeah. So a lot of people are focused on societal change. I'm focused on individual change. I really think we're going to get societal change through individual change, and that's why I spend all my time and making videos and writing and talking about individual change.
I think that's true. I think even, you know, the balance of light and dark for everyone on the planet will happen through individual knowledge and choice and self-discovery.
And it's not easy. That's why I really encourage people to get help. If you're an experiencer and you need help, you can contact me through my website, planetsev.com. I offer help for experiencers because when you come in contact with an ET, that is not by accident. There is a really good reason why that happened. Let's figure out why, because it is for your benefit. Besides the ET experiencer work that I do, I also do soul sessions with clients. They are intuitive readings to help people tap into their purpose the readings are kind of like a roadmap to finding personal peace and happiness. I'm doing every reading that I do for a client is a reading for me too, and so I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of readings, and I've been honored enough to absorb this information that comes through for each client, and there's messages that keep coming through again and again and again and again that have to do with losing your victimization. You are not under the way you feel does not need to be determined by someone else. Love yourself, honor yourself. You know how many of my clients don't engage in hobbies? Many.
Oh, really? What do they do mostly?
Watch TV.
Read a book,
go on the computer. They're not engaged in hobbies. Engaging in a hobby is showing yourself love. It is so important to do these things. So some of my readings are information on, okay, let's get you doing your hobbies again. This is sad to me. Everyone should be engaged in a hobby. Find the time to do that. We don't find the time to do that. We don't think it's important. But, my God, it's imperative. It's imperative because when you're engaged in your hobby, time stops. You know what it's like.
Yeah, and your creativity is being utilized.
Powerful.
As opposed to being passive in front of the television or the computer.
Yes, and this is invigorating for all the cells in your body. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When we're creative, we're connecting with the divine, and that is a major form of activation on all levels.
Yeah, it's DNA activation. You know, the parts of our DNA that our science doesn't even know about. We have multidimensional DNA, and it's through the act of creation, creating, engaging in hobbies, that we activate different parts of our DNA, which raises...
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Well, this is fascinating, Sev. And what is on the horizon for you? How frequently do you do your series on Alien Spirit TV?
That's a good question. So Alien Spirit TV, I have several videos on there now. I kind of took a little bit of a break. I feel like this year, 2020, I've been taking some time for myself because just the vibrations, you know, swirling around us. also ended a five-year relationship at the end of December. So I took some time just for myself to just to think and ponder and try to keep my personal frequency high. So I didn't do videos for several months, but I am starting to do them back up. This series I was telling you about, 10 Ways to Activate Your Ascension, I've done part one, which is What Do You Hear? Because these 10 ways, five of them are going to have to do with outward stimuli, which involve your senses, and then the other five have to do with inward stimuli. So the next video I'm going to make is part two. About how to activate your ascension or how to raise your frequency. I'm also going to work on doing turning my book into an audiobook with me narrating it. And I might start a podcast. I had a podcast before. But then I was like, well, I think I enjoy doing the videos more than the podcast. But now I'm kind of toying with doing a podcast again, but just having a really short one, super, super short podcast, just asking for questions and answering a question or two. I know that because of the internet and many of us have really short attention spans, so I'm going to try and create things that are short. Sometimes I can't, but sometimes I can.
Well, I think that sounds great, actually.
Thank you. And I really enjoy speaking at conferences, whether they're in person or online. A lot of conferences are online now, so I always welcome those opportunities. And I love hearing from experiencers from around the world. You can contact me privately through my website, planetsev.com, and I'll respond and help you understand why it happened and how it can benefit you.
That's great. Well, Sev, is there anything else you'd like to add before we close? This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Mia. I would like to thank you for everything that you do. You and I were talking earlier about how you're not really out there. You're not on Facebook. You're not on Instagram. You know, you're not always putting yourself in front of our faces. And yet, you've accomplished so much. And you're doing so much for us, for people who don't even know who you are. You're working for them. And so I thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy my work, and it's tremendous for me to see the way things are coming together, mm-hmm. which I think will benefit other people and the planet and animals, my true loves
yeah.
are the animals. Mm-hmm. So it's really my pleasure. It's what brings me happiness.
Mm-hmm. And we can feel it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again. And we will have all your contact information up with this interview for people to get in touch with you. As well. So it's been my pleasure, Sev. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening.